It's an honor and joy to be with you today on All Saints Day here this morning. Let us pray and then we'll begin. Holy and loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather today to hear your word and honor the saints who have come before us, whose lives testify to your love, your mercy, and your grace. May their example inspire us today, and may your spirit guide us to live faithfully in this world as we strive to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. So today, along with many congregations around the globe, we celebrate All Saints Day, a day set aside in the lectionary year to remember saints who have gone before us, as Brett mentioned, the great cloud of witnesses. While some saints are famous, others lived quiet lives of faithful service. What they all share, though, is a deep commitment to God. Those who have gone before us inspire us to live into the commandments we read Jesus referencing in the Mark passage today in our lectionary. In this passage, Jesus is asked by a scribe, which commandment is first of all, or most important? To which Jesus replies with the two commandments we're all familiar with, loving our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. As we read through these texts today, in the context of the upcoming events in our nation and in the current situations around the world, I pray we would be encouraged by the lives of the saints to live radically into these two commitments of loving God and neighbor. Every summer, my family has a family reunion. These reunions began in 1959. I got the date from my mom this week to make sure, which means as of this past July, we have been having these reunions for 55 years. Only missing 1 year in all of those years in 2020 due to, we all know, COVID restrictions. The reunions began when a brother, a young brother in the family, my grandfather is one of 10 children. One of those brothers tragically passed as a young man, leaving three sons behind, and the family decided they were tired of only seeing one another at funerals and weddings, and so they planned this event to be in the summer yearly. The gatherings typically have around 50 to 75 people. I told you my grandfather was one of 10 children, and his parents were both faithful Christians. There are always lots of kiddos running around, cousins reminding each other of who they are and where they fit in the family tree, and usually four or five generations of family members playing games, doing puzzles, and eating lots of homemade desserts. That's the best part. Every year, we have 3 days together. The location has changed, but currently it's in Oklahoma. We have 3 days together, and on Saturday, the middle day, there is a big lunch with a family meeting afterwards. I'm not sure if you have family meetings, but there's a family meeting afterwards where we take time to hear from all 10 branches, whether you're there or not, we still talk about you, and see what you're doing, what's been going on that year, and then we make sure to take pictures of everyone present. Often during these family meetings, we sing hymns and have scripture reflections. Some years the group is large and others it's smaller, but the tradition continues and it is one of my favorite weekends of the year. About 3 years ago, a cousin and her husband from Arizona were able to come for the first time in a while, and her husband, Chris, is a married-in guy, you know, those ones, and he's still trying to figure out the family a bit, and he doesn't know all the business or the background like some of us who were born into the family do, but he's tried his best to be a part. And that year, my grandparents in March had celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. During the family meeting, my cousin Chris asked my grandfather, who one of the original 10 siblings, what he and my grandmother had done to cultivate a loving marriage for that many years, 70 years. They got married when they were 19. It was an insightful question, one that was worth asking, but one that many of us could have guessed pieces or answers to, but I had never explicitly asked my grandfather that. And I think my grandfather was a little taken aback by the question. He's not one to get up and boast or brag or tell you what you should be doing. And so on the spot, he simply answered that they had tried to love God together and that they had tried to serve one another's needs over their own. My grandfather wasn't meaning to give a sermon that afternoon, but what he did was give us the words of Jesus, the very ones that we find Jesus replying to the scribe in the gospel text of Mark today. He again replies to the scribe that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself, which, if you're counting, is two commandments, but it's Jesus, so he gets away with it. This is the picture of the saints that I want us to see afresh today, that, like my grandfather, who passed in December of this last year, those who have gone before us inspire and encourage us to live faithful lives of loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Today we see that the saints encourage and inspire us towards a love of God, a holistic love, a love that we can participate in with our whole selves. The saints are often seen as extraordinary. Some even refer to them as Christian heroes. But in reality, they were ordinary people like you and me. Many came from humble beginnings, and many struggled with their own weaknesses and doubts. But through God's grace, they were able to live humble, faithful lives of witness to the love of God. The lives of saints also often serve as powerful examples of perseverance in their love for God, showcasing resilience in the face of immense challenges, hardship, and even persecution. Saints like Teresa of Avila, who was born in 1515 in Spain. Teresa faced significant struggles throughout her life, including physical illness, opposition, and periods of what she called spiritual dryness. Despite these challenges, she remained deeply committed to her faith, dedicating herself to a life of prayer and contemplation and reform. And St. Maximilian Kolb, a Polish priest and martyr, who offered his life in place of another in the Auschwitz concentration camp during World War II. His sacrifice and enduring faith in the midst of suffering also remain to us as a powerful example of love and perseverance. Saints Perpetua and Felicity, stolen by David this morning and talked about in the formation hour, thank you for that setup, were martyrs whose stories have inspired believers for centuries. Perpetua was a young, noble woman, and Felicity, her servant and friend. They were arrested in Carthage, modern-day Tunisia, North Africa, around 203 AD under the Roman emperor Septimius Severus, who had outlawed conversions to Christianity. Both women were new believers preparing for baptism, yet they remained unwavering in their faith despite the dangers that it posed. Perpetua kept a diary while she was in prison, which offers a rare and personal glimpse into the life and courage of early Christian martyrs. Her account is called The Passion of Saints Perpetua and Felicity, and it details the emotional struggles that she faced as a young mother and the steadfast faith that strengthened her in the face of her family's pleas to renounce Christianity. Felicity, meanwhile, was pregnant when arrested and gave birth in prison. And when they were brought to the Roman arena, they faced brutal treatment, yet they remained strong, supporting each other and their fellow prisoners. Their courage and love for each other became a testament to the early Christian belief in eternal life, inspiring those around them, even in their final moments. Their martyrdom is remembered as an act of profound faith, resilience, and the power of fellowship in suffering. These examples of perseverance are rooted in a deep love of God and of neighbor, and a commitment, an unwavering commitment to these beliefs, often enduring physical suffering, isolation, and opposition to uphold the very values that they cherished. Through these trials, those who have gone before us, the saints, demonstrate that perseverance is more than a simple endurance. It's an act of faith, trust, and love for God that transcends personal suffering. As the lives of saints inspire us and encourage us to love God with our whole selves, they also show us faithful ways of loving our neighbor as ourselves. One of the beloved saints in this place is Saint Francis of Assisi, and his profound love of neighbor is one of the most cherished aspects of his legacy. Known for his radical commitment to poverty, humility, and compassion, Francis viewed every person, especially those marginalized and suffering, as a reflection of Christ's own presence. He famously embraced and cared for lepers who were outcasts of society, demonstrating a fearless love that broke through social and cultural boundaries. For Francis, love of neighbor extended to all creation, as he saw all people and animals as a part of God's family, deserving respect and kindness. His encounters with others were filled with humility and a sincere desire to serve, often putting the needs of others before his own and treating everyone he encountered with dignity. In his prayer, the Peace Prayer of St. Francis, he emphasizes selflessness and the call to be an instrument of peace, underscoring that true love of neighbor involves both compassion and action. This love led him to seek peace even with those who were seen as enemies of his time, such as when he visited the Sultan during the Crusades, hoping to bridge differences and embody the love that he preached. St. Francis's life remains a powerful example of love, humility, and service to all as a way to honor and glorify God. Another example of radical love of neighbor is Harriet Tubman. Her profound love of neighbor was central to her life and her mission to free enslaved people. Guided by a deep faith, Tubman felt a divine calling to help others experience freedom, often risking her own life on dangerous missions through the Underground Railroad to lead others to safety. Despite having endured a traumatic brain injury as a child and facing the constant threat of capture, Tubman never wavered in her commitment to others' well-being. She once said, "I can't die but once," reflecting her fearless resolve to sacrifice for the sake of her neighbor. Her love extended not only to those that she personally helped escape, but to the broader cause of justice and dignity for all. Even after the Civil War, she continued her work by advocating for former slaves, caring for the elderly, and even founding a home for aging African Americans. Tubman's life was marked by a relentless, selfless love that saw no boundary between her own life and the lives of those she served. Her actions stand as a profound testament to the power of loving one's neighbor as oneself, embodying compassion, courage, and faith-driven action that inspired countless others and continues to be a faithful witness to us today. As we celebrate All Saints Day, let us give thanks for the saints who have inspired and encouraged us and paved the way for us. Let us remember their stories, their faith, and their love of God and neighbor. As we close, I want to leave you with this thought. Love is more than a feeling or a sentiment. It is an action, a choice, and a commandment that is at the heart of our faith. Looking back to our passage in Mark today, Jesus calls us to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I encourage us to ask ourselves, how can we grow in our love for God? What areas of our lives can we surrender to God more fully? And how can we show greater love to those around us? Let us go today with a renewed commitment to love, knowing that this is what God asks of us, and that through God's love, we are empowered to love others. May the love of God guide us, strengthen us, and shine through us, even in these days, as we seek to live out God's greatest commandment. Amen.